told you that Coach Moreau came to my house the other day.
Yeah, man, he's a good guy. Yeah. First time I met him, opening day last year, he came downstairs. Tony introduced me to him, and he had an AEW shirt on. Just a good guy.
Yeah. He's a big fanboy, legit. Not a Wikipedia-like level. He's the real fan.
Right.
Or he did get a soundbite off of Twitter and proclaimed his brilliance.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny about Twitter. I really like Twitter. I run my own Twitter account. I do whatever you read, good or bad, is me.
Yeah.
And some of it ain't all good. I get it. Some of my shit ain't funny. I get that too. Yeah. But guess what? That's how you, any comedian-like person, anybody spewing out humor, they're not all going to stick.
Right.
Even Heenan missed occasionally.
Yeah.
But I don't know why the negativity. And here's the other thing I don't understand. Why are wrestling fans encouraged to pick WWE or AEW? Why? And of course, that leaves out MLW, and it leaves out Ring of Honor, it leaves out everything.
Impact, all that shit.
Impact, there you go.
Yeah.
Leaves all them out, which is not really fair. I don't see, if you're a wrestling fan, why you can't like all pro wrestling, because it's just like going to a buffet.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about food.
It's like back in the day, Jim. We were talking about this earlier, right? When we read the magazines. I liked Mid-Atlantic wrestling, right? Because that's where I live.
Yeah.
But I also enjoyed hearing about the other territories. And it's just, I don't know why they got to take sides. I don't get that. I want to see, for us, if everybody's successful, it's better for the business.
I said that line the other night about the plexiglass.
Yeah.
Well, that tells you that I watch their show.
Yeah.
Because I'm a wrestling fan. Why would JR want to watch Monday Night Raw? You know, he was unceremoniously, you know, left his post there. Well, poor me. Poor me. You know, 26 years and a lot of money later, and I'm going to bitch about that to live my dream? And that same kid that went to Siloam Springs, Arkansas from Westville to buy wrestling magazines once a month. So I had to drive, like I told you, it's really ridiculous. A 30-mile round trip that included an out-of-state to buy a wrestling magazine. So my mom and my grandma would go there to go to the doctor or whatever, shop in general. And I would go to one of those old-school magazine stands. It's got a little the booth of the counter service. Get yourself a Cherry Coke, you know, ice cream cone, whatever. And they got their magazines there. I was in heaven. I loved reading. That was a big deal. So I don't know why we can't just be fans of wrestling. Look, there's so few of us anyway. Why are we being stupid and fragmenting our group? Because I guarantee you, the outside people that aren't wrestling fans, they flaw that because they think we're all inbred and ignorant anyway.
Right. Well, of course they do.
And we feed that fantasy by our conduct. It's crazy shit, man. I don't get it. Everybody perceives something so negative, but it might have just been meant for humor. See, we talked about Cornette. See, I believe Cornette knows exactly the buttons to push because he wants people to listen to his podcast and or buy his stuff, his books.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a great store online and all that stuff. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the buttons to push to get a reaction. Just like he used to do promos.
Yeah, but I just don't get alienating people, right? He must just be just very comfortable in his lifestyle and the money he's making and everything.
Yeah, he is.
Just because why would he alienate people like he's doing?
I just think that's why part of it's a shtick thing. I have no issues with Cornette, no.
Oh, no, I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I travel with him a lot too.
Yeah, I do, me too. And I do anything for him. He needs something.
And I learned a lot from him too. I mean, man, when I first started working with him, when the Midnight Express first arrived at the TBS studios in 85, I stuck the microphone in front of him. I knew immediately this guy was going to be, he's going to be sensational. And they did business.
I did his first interview in Mid-South for the syndicated shows, Coming Soon type deal, right? So I'm sitting at this table with this high top thing, a chair, a little podium in front of me, working with the papers. Zeke goes up there, and from the minute he opened his mouth, he ripped me a new one. My hair, my teeth, my clothes, my cheeks, whatever.
Yeah, you got to do something about the cheeks.
Yeah, I got to work on it. And so we do the interview, 2 minutes. And I'm wondering if this son of a bitch is going to take a breath. Does he just not have, did he have unlimited supply of oxygen? Because I don't think he's breathing.
Yeah.
So we do the interview, and Cowboy listened to it, didn't say a word in the whole interview. He said, well, we got a little problem here. I think he's talking a technical problem in the recording or something. He said, we're going to do that over. Because Jimmy, talking to Cornette, as long as I'm alive, you and my television announcer will never be booked to have a match. And you did your whole promo at him as if you're going to have a match. So that ostensibly was to get you over. I want you to get you and your team over. And I want you to mention some other tag teams here, who they might be. And so he got a little schooling. Boom, 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 Cowboy. Promo one, he can't step right back in the batter's box. And he kicked ass. He had no retakes, no fumbles, no nothing. Boom. And he nailed it. But the Memphis thing was always guys' heels. And, you know, their big issue, as uncreative as it was after a while, was making fun of Lance Russell's nose. So that should take play forever. And they abuse Lance in that regard, I thought, sometimes. I really enjoyed working with him.
Good man. Good man. Didn't get enough credit. He and Bob Cottle never got enough credit.
Oh, you're right. Their work would hold up today just as well as anything. Bob Cottle, what a gem in life. What a guy.
I remember, don't know what date it was obviously the early 80s, mid 80s maybe, and we were doing, the Crockett's used to go out and do these, you know, the city, you remember, syndicated tapings around the Carolinas, right? And they had me working with Bob Cottle, and I remember standing there, we both had those long stick mics, standing there on the set, getting ready to tape something, and I was giddy marking out, and I said, Bob, I said, I just want to let you know, for me to be able to stand beside you is one of the biggest moments of my life. I said, I'm not overselling this, and because I was serious. I watched you growing up, and now I'm standing with you, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
It's one of the biggest thrills of my life. It's a day we were in Spartanburg. I don't know exactly the year or the time, but I can remember that day, standing beside Bob Cottle.
It was an honor for me to stand beside him. And look, here's the thing about it. You and David were doing the Worldwide Show, which is the number one syndicated show in the company.
Right.
And the most distribution.
Right.
It's placed in more stations.
Right.
So, you know, Rowdy Bob did the NWA Pro Show.
That's right.
So, here's the new guy comes in, me. He doesn't even do, he's not even on the A Show anymore.
Right.
He's not even doing play-by-play anymore.
Right.
He's a color guy.
Right.
You think he ever said shit about it one time?
He's never.
Our road trips together were memories I'll have forever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can't remember when we first discovered Cracker Barrel. That was a mother load right there. You know, Bob loved the Cracker Barrel. Collards. Something fried. And all the years that we were together, because I knew that he was could be sensitive about it, and I didn't have no, it wasn't a topic to be sensitive about. Just don't go there. It was politics.
Yeah.
He was a devout Republican, Jesse Helms guy.
Oh, yeah.
He always called the boss. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Well, the boss said this, and the boss said that. Did you get WRAL-TV where you live?
No.
In Raleigh?
No, I got the Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia stations. One in Harrisonburg, Virginia. But I watch Worldwide Wrestling in Lynchburg. I watch Worldwide Wrestling on Channel 13 out of Lynchburg. And I watched Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling on Channel 6 out of Richmond.
All good stations.
Yeah. That's how I watched it. And then, of course, I watched 605 on Saturday nights, you know, and later on we got cable. We got cable very early, actually.
The Dean, Gordon Sully, Lance Russell would say, see, Lance, how was your trip? What if you ride with Gordon? And Lance would be driving, by the way.
Yeah.
Lance would say, well, old Gordy had quite the night. I think Gordy, he called him Gordy all the time. I'd never heard anybody else call Gordon Sully Gordy. Gordy had a rough night, and, you know, Lance said, and he wasn't quite right this morning.
Well, there was one night, and I don't know if you were with us or not. We were in Charleston, South Carolina. We had a clash or whatever, and all the announcers were eating together. And I never will forget it. We were walking back to the car, and Gordon was fall down drunk at that night. And he fell down in the parking lot.
Oh, God.
And Lance picked him up, dusted him off. Basically, you know, one-armed him to the car. He looked out.
Was it dinner before the show?
It was dinner the night before the show.
Night before, good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I helped get him hired back there at WCW. And they said, well, you know, I said, he's famous. Sure. He had a great name identity. His voice is symbolic of that brand on Saturday night.
Right. You know,
I said, and I think we have to pay back things to people that pay the way. He was a big part of this building this brand here.
Right.
So the first time I brought him in, we did the production down in the food court area where the production facility was at that time at the CNN Center. And I brought him in during the day and to record that afternoon. And buy him dinner that night and sit him home the next morning. It sounded really nice on paper. By the time he got there in the afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock from Tampa, he'd already stopped by the Crown Room in Hartsfield Airport to drink a free vodka. And so when he got to the work, he was shit-faced. So we had to put everything of his on the prompter, which in hindsight was a good idea anyway. So he could edit the stuff, he could, you know, change a few words around, whatever he wanted to do to make it him, but we didn't make him start with a blank page. So I learned a lesson on that first trip. We bring him up, he did a little Gordon Sully commentary, you know, I'm Gordon Sully. I just wanted him on camera, I wanted to hear people hear his voice. It was, to the detached fan, it was something positive. So what I started doing after that was I'd fly him up in the afternoon and check him in the hotel, the Omni Hotel. You know where he's going to go, right to the bar. Then I schedule all of his production with Keith Mitchell the next morning, like at 8 o'clock.
Sure.
So we got ahead of the curve on that. So we'd do this work, he'd be sober, and then we would take him to the airport, fly him back to Tampa. We made it work for him.
As well you should.
I felt good about that, the whole deal. One time we did a two-hour Saturday night shows in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it worked out this way. I think you were probably gone. I don't know what happened. Can't remember. But he was my partner for two-hour shows. Mm-hmm. And man, he did not want to do it. So I sent an associate producer. It might have been Neil Pruitt. I'm not even sure. Somebody there. Go get me a Igloo cooler. We can push the little button in the liquid. Mm-hmm. And fill it. Give me a big container. Put at least a fifth. I think we put a half a gallon of vodka in it. And then orange juice. Stirred it all in the ice. So he brings it all back out, sets it back down there by where we're broadcasting. And I hit the little spout thing, give me a little screwdriver. And I say, here, Gordon, have something to drink. I got gin, I want vodka, just drink the humor my ass, okay? Just for a second. Take a sip. And see if you like what you're drinking. Yeah. And of course it was strong ass screwdrivers.
Yeah.
All that vodka, my God, he perked up like he just won the lottery.
Whatever fuels you, right?
Whatever it took to get the show done.
Yeah.
That's the interesting promoter saying. You got to do what you got to do to get the match in the ring. That issue we had, you read under the black hat, mm-hmm. where Jeff Jarrett kind of held us up.
Right.
In his deal with China.
Yeah.
And then he left.
Right.
Which was a setup deal. Nonetheless, it don't matter now. Right. It didn't matter then, really. He was a mid-card guy that was going to drop the Intercontinental title to a female. Why should we give a shit? But it was handled poorly.
Sure.
It wasn't handled professionally or above board, in my opinion. So, I think that, sometimes these things we endure, when you look back at it, was it really that big a deal?